debt. It keeps you tossing and turning at night. You can't get away from it. But the truth is, the system is designed to trap you in debt. Insanely high interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. There's a new way out of the debt trap, Pivotal Debt Solutions. Pivotal Debt Solutions isn't like the old school debt relief companies that string your debt out for years. They have aggressive strategies that can end your debt faster and easier than you thought possible. Pivotal Debt Solutions can cut or even eliminate interest. Find programs to write off your balances so you owe less. Stop those threatening phone calls, and without bankruptcy and without a loan. Bottom line, they find every solution possible to end your debt permanently. Before you do anything, contact Pivotal Debt Solutions first. Talk to them for free. Find out how fast they can help you get out of debt. Visit zapmydebt.com. That's zapmydebt.com. Zapmydebt.com.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, broadcasting on commercial radio stations from coast to coast on SiriusXM all across the North American continent, on Pacifica stations across America, Europe, and Africa, on American Forces Radio, on every U.S. military base in the world, on your electronic device via TuneIn, Progressive Voices, Tom Hartman app, and simulcast as television via Free Speech TV Network on Dish Network, DirecTV, and cable systems all over the country. There's just a lot going on. First of all, what the hell is a populist anyway? And why does the media continue to call fascist Republicans and sellout Democrats populist? We'll get to that in just a moment. The Republican Party is hating on young parents and babies just to make Democrats look bad. And apparently they're fine with terrorism. Two amazing votes in the House of Representatives that, frankly, I thought would be at the top of the New York Times and the Washington Post. And I don't think either one of them even made the front page. I've got to tell you about those in a few moments. Are Republicans starting to see through the perpetual election lies and extremism? Maybe, maybe not. I'll tell you the details on that. And a crazy alert. Ron DeSantis' press secretary was duped by a fake story about a homophobic dog on International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia and Biphobia. We'll get to that. Alex and Gill is going to drop by. She's got a brilliant new piece. I believe it was in the Washington Post, about how overturning Roe would be disastrous for women in the U.S. military. We will speak with her about it. And also, the January 6th committee is now investigating Capitol reconnaissance tours by Republican lawmakers. Is this treason or domestic terrorism or completely innocent? We'll discuss that, and along with conservative Charlie Sykes suggesting that he has found the Achilles heel for the GOP. He won't be with us, but I have a story about it that I think is fascinating. Also, geeky science. Scientists have finally did a study to find out if taking 10,000 steps a day really matters to your health. The results are surprising. I'll tell you about that. But my opening rant today, published over at HartmanReport.com, is titled, What the Heck is a Populist Anyway? You know, I was watching MSNBC yesterday afternoon, and the Chyron, you know, that the words on the bottom of the screen, they're called Chyrons because the company that first came up with the technology to do that back 30 years ago was called Chyron. And anyhow, the Chyron read, Populist Fetterman wins Pennsylvania primary. And it got me thinking, you know, I remember, what, a month ago when the French elections were happening? They were calling Marine Le Pen a populist. And I've seen Donald Trump called a populist over and over and over again in our media, as well as Bernie Sanders. So all of which raises the question, why do they use this single word, populist, to describe this whole spectrum of very different kinds of politicians? Is populist simply shorthand or pop news speak for media friendly or for outrageous? I remember they used to call John McCain a populist or high profile politicians. Well, it turns out there's actually a definition of the word. In fact, there was a whole book written about it by Cass Mudd. It's called Populism, A Very Short Introduction. And, you know, this expert on this sort of thing says that populism is a person who takes a political position or is part of a movement that reflects the needs and desires of the majority of the population, thus the word populism, and is opposed to the interests of an elite minority. And that opposition to the elite is as much a part of being identified as a populist as is the embrace of what the majority of Americans want. So here you got Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, a couple of days ago, told a conservative Washington, D.C. newspaper, actually, it might have been a month or so ago, he said, "I'm a conservative, but I'm also a populist. I am deeply a populist. When it comes to populism, I think the most fundamental and important shift in the last decade in politics is that Republicans have become the party of the working class." Right, so let me get this straight. The guy who votes, along with his entire political party, for trade deals that ship jobs overseas, who votes to raise taxes on working people while cutting taxes on the morbidly rich, who strongly opposes the right of working people to have a union in the workplace, who fights to keep the minimum wage at $7.25 an hour, who is heavily funded by right-wing billionaires and giant multinational corporations, and he supports big employers busting unions, this guy's a populist? There was literally nothing in that list I just read that is supported by the majority of Americans. Literally nothing. Ted Cruz is no populist. But claiming the mantle of populism is pretty much what the Republican Party has been doing ever since the Reagan Revolution. Newt Gingrich, came out and said, yeah, we should always, whenever we refer to Democrats, we should use the word elite. Why? Because to be a populist, you have to be opposed to elites. But the GOP, and no matter how often they want to call Barbara Streisand an elite, as if she were some sort of right-wing billionaire like Charles Koch, doesn't make it so, right? Or Jeff Bezos or whatever. Ain't so. The Republican Party is almost exclusively funded by giant corporations, foreign governments, and the morbidly rich. I mean, it doesn't get any more elite than that. So we need to, A, stop using the word populist to describe any Republican politician until or unless they've renounced their party or the positions of their party. I mean, you've got a bunch of Republicans who pretend to have done that. Trump pretended to be a populist in the 2015 Republican primary when he called out Republicans during the debate and said that every single one of them wanted to end Social Security and Medicare. That's a populist position to be opposed to ending Social Security and Medicare. He said that all of the Republicans on the stage wanted to cut taxes on the rich, you know, an elite position. He said that they want to suck up to giant corporations by keeping pay low and keep a steady stream of imports from China coming. He even pretended to walk the talk briefly by raising tariffs on a few random products coming out of China. But his populism, when he actually became president, was just as phony as Ted Cruz's. I mean, he borrowed over $2 trillion from the U.S. Treasury and handed it over to himself and his fellow billionaires while using the Defense Production Act to force workers, low-wage workers, back into meatpacking plants during a deadly pandemic at the barrel of a gun. But there is a lot of real populism in America's history. Teddy Roosevelt was our first populist president in 1901. He was followed by his cousin Franklin Roosevelt as our nation's second populist president. FDR was reelected 3 times. He was president 4 different times because he did the will of the people. Harry Truman followed him, but Harry Truman didn't have that populist thing going because he started an unpopular war, the war in Korea. Then came Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower was a populist. He kept taxes on the rich at 91%. The majority of the population loved that. He continued FDR's work on the New Deal. He supported labor unions. He built a modern America for the middle class. This is Republican Dwight Eisenhower, the populist. Michael Hiltzik notes in his book on the New Deal that just one of those New Deal programs that FDR had started, that Eisenhower continued, quote, produced, among many other projects, 1,000 miles of new and rebuilt airport runways, 651,000 miles of highway, 124,000 bridges, 8,000 parks, 18,000 playgrounds and athletic fields, 84,000 miles of drainage pipes, 69,000 highway light standards, 125,000 public buildings built, rebuilt, or expanded, and 41,300 schools. Eisenhower went on to add an additional 47,856 miles of freeway. I think you could argue that John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerry Ford, Jimmy Carter, they were all populists because they were all governing, basically doing what the majority of the people of America wanted. It all changed, though, when Reagan came into office and started promoting this lie. He pretended he was a populist. By the way, all those presidents I just named, Nixon, I had Nixon and LBJ in that list. The two places where they failed on being populist was the Vietnam War, and they both suffered for it. So anyhow, along comes Reagan, and Reagan says, "Oh yeah, I'm a populist too. I'm going to strengthen the middle class by giving tax cuts to the job creators, so they'll create more jobs. Trickle down economics, supply side economics. That's the thing." But it was a lie. And ever since Reagan, anytime a Republican tries to pretend they're a populist, they're lying. What the Republicans are actually promoting, when you seriously look at it, is a system of government that merges state and government interests while holding political power by demonizing minorities and foreigners and the powerless. That is literally the dictionary definition of fascism. Republicans aren't populists, they're fascists. Now, on the Democratic side, we've got a problem, too. You got people like, you know, here in Oregon, Kurt Schrader, who voted to blow up Joe Biden's Build Back Better and voted to block Medicare from negotiating drug prices. And he's a Democrat. He's not, clearly not a populist. He's not doing what the majority of people want. So what is he? I call him a sellout. I don't think Kurt Schrader's a fascist, but I think he's a sellout. If you look at the genuine populace in the Democratic Party, which is the Congressional Progressive Caucus, people like Ro Khanna and Mark Pocan and Bernie Sanders and Pramila Jayapal and Elizabeth Warren, they all want this list. This list of things. These are all things that are supported by more than half of Americans. Accessible, low-cost health care for all, free or low-cost college and trade school, modern, well-funded public schools, expanded Medicare and Medicaid, reduced greenhouse gas emissions, higher wages and the right to unionize, comprehensive immigration reform, tight regulation of banks and insurance companies, getting money and other forms of bribery out of politics, returning to Hamilton's American plan to bring our factories back home, paying for American renewal by appropriately taxing the morbidly rich, breaking up corporate monopolies that rip us off and give us terrible service, and ending corporate personhood and returning those rights to the people. Those are populist positions. Where the hell did this word centrist come from? What makes Kurt Schrader a centrist? He's a sellout. So let's just be clear about this. We can simplify our language tremendously. You have populists, they're, you know, a good chunk, probably about half of the Democratic Party, maybe more, and it's growing. You have sellouts, there's some of them in the Democratic Party. And you have fascists, which the Republican Party is well populated by. Let's all encourage the media to start telling the truth about what's going on, eh? The whole piece, by the way, with all the links and everything else, is over at HartmanReport.com. It's free. Omar in Herndon, Virginia. Hey, Omar. Thanks for listening on the Tom Hartman app. What's up?
Tom, you don't miss anything. You're the treasurer. You don't miss nothing.
Okay. Thank you.
Tom, I don't know if you're aware, but you're on D.C. and radio now. I don't know if you're aware of that. You're 104.7?
Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What's the station? What's the call letters?
It's 104.7 FM.
So is that We Act Radio? Did they pick up an FM signal there? Because they used to just be on the internet. Ah, okay.
No, this is a radio. This is a radio station.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, they used to have an FM signal. A bunch of right-wingers challenged it. It got taken down for a little while. They've got it back now. That's great to know. Thank you, Omar.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just crank you up loud, and let everybody on the road listen to the messenger, you know.
That's great.
But, Tom, what I wanted to talk about is that I think the Democrat needs to take a lesson from John Fetterman's campaign. I'm going to tell you a story. I was driving from Virginia to Ohio, and I stopped in Breezewood rest station. And guess who I see? John Fetterman. They're standing.
Wait a minute. Did you say John Fetterman?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
The Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania.
The guy who's probably going to be the senator. Yeah.
Exactly. But we Democrats didn't take a lesson from his candidacy. He was sitting there, and he was having a discussion with somebody about Medicare. You know, it was just amazing. And I just saw him down there, and I shook his hand, and I moved on. But he had been planting the seed from day one. He's constantly talking to people, talking about kitchen sink issue tables,
yeah.
You know, and that's what we have to go back to galvan up our base. And that's just something that we Democrats have to take a note of. But what I want to talk about, Tom, is that this out of placement theory, I think Fox News has blood on its hand because this incident that happened in Buffalo, which is very tragic, I blame Fox News because they popped up this information. I think it's time to start targeting the advertisers, people who advertise on Fox News.
And that's already happening. I mean, there's very few advertisers left, for example, for some of their shows. The problem is that most of their money doesn't come from advertising. It comes from the what are called carriage fees. When cable networks carry television networks, they have to pay the television networks, and Fox gets most of its money from cable carriage fees. So they don't care.
Well, but I mean, but this is equivalent of a screaming fire in the movie theater.
I agree. This is
inciting violence, and and FCC has to step in because they cannot continue press. They're literally just displaying hate.
The FCC doesn't. The problem is the FCC doesn't regulate cable.
Wow.
Okay. Frankly, I think that could happen. I mean, you could build a case that cable is, you know, I mean, the whole idea of the FCC regulating the airwaves is that that's public space. You know, the radio frequency spectrum is publicly owned. And most cable operators are running their cable across public property that runs along roads and rights of way and things like that, which was the rationale that was used for regulating the phone companies. So it should be possible. It's just going to take an act of Congress to make it happen.
Thank you, Tom.
That has not happened, to the best of my knowledge. Omar, thanks a lot for the call. Are the Republican voters starting to see through the perpetual election lies and extremism? And what happened in Congress? This is such a big deal. I don't understand why it's not at the top of the news. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
So this just blows my mind. Just, you know, just a moment ago, Omar from Virginia called in and said, you know, Fox News has blood on their hands with regards to the Buffalo shooter. And then this story, this is published over at RawStory.com. The headline, Michigan teen hopes school massacre would help get Biden impeached. No, I'm not making this up. I'll just read it to you straight. A Michigan teenager who killed four classmates and injured seven other people hoped that his school massacre would lead to Joe Biden's impeachment. He wrote in his journal, quote, hopefully my shooting will cause Biden to get impeached. Sleepy effing Joe Biden will have to make an apology to the people. This is the kid whose parents are also in jail. His mother had written this love letter to Donald Trump when he was president. It's amazing. So what happened in the House of Representatives? Well, there was a bill to appropriate $28 million, which, you know, $28 million is like, what, 8 minutes of spending by the federal government? It's not a lot of money. But, you know, when you've got baby formula, it is a lot of money, right? So to appropriate $28 million in emergency funds to buy baby formula from outside the country and bring it in and move it around and, you know, make it available. 219 Democrats voted yes. Only 12 Republicans voted yes. 192 Republicans voted no. We don't want to help out young parents. Why is that not at the top of the New York Times and the Washington Post? What am I missing here? I mean, if Democrats had made it as insane a vote as that, and then at the same time, the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act of 2022, this would share information about domestic terrorism among government departments and combat white supremacism and neo-Nazi infiltration of the uniformed services and federal law enforcement. 203 Republicans voted no. 222 Democrats voted yes. When did terrorism become something that the Republicans were in favor of? What am I missing here? Extremism has now seized the GOP. There's no other way to say this. Racism, racial hatred, right-wing extremism, hate of government itself has seized one of our two major parties. And now they're going over to Hungary, and a dictator, the Hungarian dictator, Viktor Orban, is telling them, oh, yeah, we've got to seize the media. It's just, this is incredible. Your call's up next. Stick around. Actually, just a touch more on Republican extremism. Then your call's next. So, a lot going on here. This new this is an amazing new study. The Republican Party, just you know, white nationalism, extremism within the GOP, this new study that just came out. The Republican Party in the past year has fielded over 100 extremist candidates. This is the Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights. And they did this study looking at extremist Facebook groups, these private groups. And what they found was that 875 legislators in all 50 states, constituting nearly 22% of all elected Republican lawmakers, identified as participating members of extremist groups. They identify 875 of them. This is just incredible. It's 21.74% of all Republican lawmakers in the country. The states with the highest percentage of extremist legislators were Alaska, Arkansas, Idaho, Montana, Washington, Minnesota, Maine, and Missouri, excuse me. The report connects them with a surge in legislation seeking to limit access to the ballot, restrict the right of LGBTQ people, limit critical race theory, and otherwise control what public school children can learn about America's legacy of racism, as well as severely restricting abortion rights in their states. Those are the criteria for extremism. The head of that study, a person by the name of Burkhout, said all of that stuff has been incubated in these networks. The report also identifies some 963 different pieces of legislation introduced in all 50 states and at the federal level that are what they describe as anti-human rights bills. They added, by the way, the researchers, the IREHR researchers added, quote, "We believe the findings almost certainly understate the breadth of the problem." Meanwhile, Donald Trump's election lies, Maggie Haberman in the New York Times is saying Trump's dangerous election lies might blow up the Pennsylvania Republicans, blow up in their faces. I mean, he was impeached twice. He attempted to shake down Ukraine. He tried to incite a riot. He did incite a riot, in fact. And then, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Trump came out in one of his speeches and he says, should they expunge the impeachment in the House? Well, you can't expunge an impeachment. First of all, he wasn't convicted, so you can't, you know, expunge a conviction. And secondly, because it's not a criminal proceeding, and it's part of the public record. But nonetheless, Oklahoma Republican, right-winger, hardcore crackpot Mark Wayne Mullen, who is running for the U.S. Senate in Oklahoma, proposed resolution in the House of Representatives declaring Trump's first impeachment is expunged. Yeah. And finally, a crazy alert. Ron DeSantis' press secretary. This was the International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. Retweeted a photo, a photoshopped Washington Post page. It was satire with this poofy looking dog saying, you know, there's a homophobic dog. Hates gay people. Isn't that cool? Right. In a statement to the Independent newspaper on Wednesday, the British newspaper, The Independent, she said, quote, the fact that the Washington Post felt the need to fact check a satirical meme says a lot about the credibility of the Washington Post and none of it good. Washington Post journalists would be happier if they stopped taking themselves and social media so seriously. Maybe she should stop taking, you know, tweeted BS memes so seriously. Amazing. Andre in Chicago. Let's pick up your phone calls here. Andre in Chicago. Hey, Andre, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how you feel today?
Good. What's
good,
up?
Good. Thanks for asking. Look, I want to say that, first of all, many of these congressmen call themselves to be Catholic, but their behavior is totally opposite than what they claim their faith is. I honestly think that there's more good people. No matter what we go through, I think there's more good people in the world than there are bad people, but we are rendered null and void because we don't speak out. And the only way you can counteract some things is to speak out. I think it was Dr. King that said, silence is consent. And it's not so much what happened to us, but it's the deafening silence behind the victimization that we experienced. So I think it's time for the evangelicals to speak out, the Catholics to speak out, and talk to their kids as well. You know, initiate conversations with your kids about critical race theory. Initiate conversations with your kids about racism, hateism. And white supremacy. Don't wait for kids to initiate the conversation to you. Monitor your kids' behavior. Monitor the company that your kids keep. And I think that we have a chance to ward this stuff off the path. So many times we've heard people say, well, I had no idea she was doing this. Well, I had no idea my son was this. It's like they're in the dark. You spend your money buying your kids cell phones and tablets and letting them go on the internet, then you got a right to monitor what they're doing, and you can hear some things off the path. We talk about Joe Manchin. I think it's time for the Democratic Party to rebuild themselves and say, the heck with Joe Manchin. We can't be bullied for the rest of our lives with Joe Manchin hanging over our head.
Yeah. It'd be nice if it's going to take another 2 years, I think.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice if we can find somebody that could take a popular figure that could take a residence there in Virginia, West Virginia, and run against Joe Manchin and don't be afraid to lose. But he got to be called out. He can no longer walk this line between Democrat and Republican. And if he's taking Democratic resources, like Democratic money from the party, or he's using Democratic volunteers, then they need to cease and desist with helping him with these type of things.
The immediate problem, though, is if Joe Manchin were to leave the Democratic Party, Chuck Schumer is no longer running the Senate. I mean, you know, there's a practical piece to this, Andre. But I get what you're saying, and there is a strong movement in West Virginia, as there is in Arizona with regard to Kyrsten Sinema, to replace both of them in the primaries 2 years from now. And Manchin, I think, frankly, is probably going to retire. Although, who knows? I mean, power is very, very addictive.
Thank you for saying that, but I just feel like we may have to, we got to start somewhere. We can no longer keep killing all these packages. Who knows if Joe Biden will win in 24. We have to deal with these things when we can, and don't be afraid to take risks. Tom, do you know why it is, or have you heard anything about why Nancy Pelosi and any of these other congressmen that were threatened hadn't filed lawsuits against these people that threatened them? I don't know if it was Marjorie Taylor Greene or people that said, hang Nancy Pelosi. Why did they just let the Congress take over that instead of them filing personal suits against these people? I believe that would have made a difference if they filed some individual lawsuits against these people for threatening them like that.
I think they're trying to let the legal process work its way through, Andre, and don't want to get in the middle of that. You know, if you filed a civil lawsuit like that, you would have discovery, and the discovery would have, you know, you looking at the same witnesses that they're looking at, and it could get real messy. So my guess is that's what's going on. So, Andre, thanks a lot for the call. It's great to hear from you. Richard in Orlando. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I don't know if you know who Tim Snyder is.
Sounds familiar.
He's come up with, history professor at Yale who's...
Oh, Tim Snyder, yeah.
Pamphlet.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
Yeah.
I've read two of his books, yeah.
Okay, well, he's come up with a refinement on the populism idea. He calls it sadopopulism, as sadomasochism.
Mm-hmm.
And he says sadopopulism is the administration of pain, deliberate pain, like take away your health care, screw up your education, you know, like what all the red states, you know, how they
right.
all their
right.
government does nothing for them.
Deny people but access then, to Medicaid, yeah.
Right. Then redirect that pain. You have a reservoir of pain, and you redirect it toward the scapegoats of your choice.
Hmm.
Who's making the pain, right? What's the biggest problem? You know, oh, my God, they're coming to take away our white privilege, and it's anybody from, you know, is it George Soros or Nancy Pelosi, you know, so you can redirect that pain. And as long as you can fool the people and make them think that, you know, well, what Lyndon Johnson said, if you can convince the lowest white man that he's better than the highest black man, you can pick his pocket.
All day long. Yep. There you go, Richard.
You know,
and these guys are over in Hungary right now taking lessons on how to do this from a guy who pulled it off, Viktor Orban. He's rigged his elections. He's seized complete control of the media. I mean, it's an ongoing process. It really is.
They have no policy, you know, but wouldn't somebody ask McConnell what the policy was if they won back the Senate, and he said, well, we'll tell you when we get there. You know, they have no policy, so... Yeah.
Well, they do now. Rick Scott has laid out his 11-point plan, which includes sunsetting Social Security and Medicare after 5 years and raising taxes on the bottom half of American wage earners. So we'll see how that works out for them, Richard. We'll see. I'm not optimistic about their chances. I think it's going to hurt them badly. Dan, thanks for the call, Richard. Joe in Seattle. Hey, Joe, what's on your mind today?
Oh, you know, I've been thinking about populism, but now you've been talking about white supremacy and neo-Nazism, and I kind of want to speak on that now, too.
Go for it.
My first point was that the Democrats and the Republicans, a lot of them are supporting this war in Ukraine, and I feel like that's an anti-populist position because the majority of American people are not supportive of the war.
Not true. Look at any public opinion polling. It's
from a Forbes article a few days ago, says Americans overwhelmingly don't want the U.S. to risk war with Russia and aid in Ukraine.
Well, that's a completely different thing. That's literally a completely different thing. You know, that's the whole point, is let's not risk war with Russia. But that doesn't mean the majority of Americans don't want the United States giving military aid to Ukraine. The majority of Americans do. That's unambiguous, Joe.
Do you think the majority of American people want $40 billion given to a proxy over there that supports neo-Nazis?
I do. And they don't support neo-Nazis. The neo-Nazis are here in the United States.
Do you know the connection between Azov and the neo-Nazi movement in the United States?
I know that there are right-wingers in both countries, Joe. What does that have to do with anything?
They're not right-wingers. They're supported. They're openly neo-Nazis.
I'll give you. There are people in both countries. There are people Germany has neo-Nazis.
There's
You know, Joe, if you're going to try and spout Russian Putin's propaganda on my show, I'm going to cut you off.
I'm talking about right-wing neo-Nazis that are supported by the U.S. government.
Yeah. Joe, take it someplace else. Really, take it someplace else. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors.
Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, a geeky science for you here. Scientists finally got around to doing a study on that 10,000 steps a day. I remember the big craze. I mean, it kind of came along with the Fitbit kind of stuff, you know, the wearables, maybe a decade or so. And everybody was like, yeah, I got to have 10,000 steps a day. 10,000 sounds like a nice round number. It turns out it came from a marketing strategy put together by not a physician, but a marketing expert in Japan for a company that was selling these wearable, measure your footsteps things. And he just said, hey, let's do 10,000. It's a nice round number. Well, somebody put the science to it. This is just recently published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Network Open Journal. They followed 2,110 middle-aged adults who had worn a step-counting device beginning in 2005 or 2006 for at least 11 years. And they looked at how many steps they took and what their health outcomes were. And what they found was, A, any steps are good. 6,000 steps is better than 5,000. 5,000 is better than 4,000. No matter how many steps you take, there is a noticeable improvement. But it seems to peak out not at 10,000, but at around 7,000. 7,000 steps seems to be this important inflection point. And taking 7,000 steps a day reduced participants' chances of premature death by 50 to 70%. That's breathtaking. That's just absolutely breathtaking. So, anyway, picking up your phone calls. Got an awful lot going on here. David in San Francisco. Hey, David, what's on your mind?
All right, Tom. I was more interested in food issues. If the Ukrainian farmers don't get in a crop probably this week, summer wheat needs planting, and it's a little late for that. If they don't get in a crop this year, the world is in some real trouble. And Ted Cruz, that guy is trying to play both sides against the middle. He did a little, must have been a speech on the floor of the Senate about the importance of supporting the Ukraine, but he didn't want to support the sanctions. And you know, if you think about corporate takeovers, you think about Republicans being able to crush a corporation and snap it up themselves, you would think that the Republicans would know how to crush Putin without even a whimper. You just pull it off and get down the road with the money. They've been doing that sort of stuff for years, but they don't want to help. So there were two things in the news, you know, the stock market collapses in the last couple of days. You wonder whether or not actually the sanctions are working and that Putin's people are having to do a flea market sale, a yard sale, in order to raise cash. So they were selling in order to raise cash. Or whether or not the Republicans are trying to crash the economy so they can help Putin.
I don't think there's a relationship there outside of the possibility of a food crisis coming that is affecting the market. I think the big issue is that, you know, we've been juicing the market for years now, and the Fed just pulled back in a huge way. I mean, a half point drop. I think that's where it's going. David, thank you for the call. Michael in Greenville, South Carolina. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind?
Good day, Tom, and thank you, Joyce, for making me the unofficial president of her fan club.
Okay. The Joyce fan club, that's cool. So what's up?
Yeah, but the elephant in the room, the reason why I believe that there are all of these hate crimes and everything else is because of Barack Obama.
Because a black man became president and it triggered the white supremacists? Is that what you mean?
Bingo. Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah. The whole birther thing, that was Trump's entree into politics.
Yeah. I know that you watch Reed Zakaria.
Mm-hmm. Religiously.
Years ago, there was a scholar on with him, and he predicted it. Exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah. That there would be a massive white backlash to a black president.
Exactly. Yeah. It's backlash to the extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I get it, Michael. I think you're absolutely right. And, but at the moment, it's water under the bridge.
I have to chide you and everyone else in the media for never realizing this.
Well, I've pointed this out more than once.
They
went nuts when Obama became president. That was when they funded the whole Tea Party thing to try to take him down. That's when Trump went birther. It's like the entire Republican Party went insane, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And then, boom, what'd you get? Donald Trump.
Now we have shooters in grocery stores.
Yeah, well, we've had shooters. We've had racist shooters for a long, long time. You know, Tim McVeigh back in the 90s when Bill Clinton was president, blew up the Oklahoma federal building because he wanted to start a race war.
I thought of that when I was thinking about my thoughts. But because of Barack Obama, it just...
No, it's not because of Barack Obama. It's in reaction to the presidency of Barack Obama. Barack Obama did not cause any of this. Barack Obama was president. These people's racism caused this. Let's be very clear in our language here, Michael. Michael, thank you for the call. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Well, and more of the news of the day. Allison Gill, in fact, is going to drop by on the other side of this break. Welcome back to our program. You know, we've been talking about the whole Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade and the possibility that individual states are going to start, well, the certainty that individual states are going to start criminalizing abortion and criminalizing women who get them and people who help them and physicians and whatnot. But we haven't really talked much at all on this program or in the media in general, frankly, about American citizens who are actually putting their lives on the line for other American citizens who don't have the luxury of moving to another state or even, hopping on a plane to go to another state to get an abortion if they end up stuck in one of these states that criminalizes abortion. And I think this is a big deal. Allison Gill is on the line with us. Allison is the host of Mueller, She Wrote, up at the podcast, and also the host of The Daily Beans, a woman-owned and operated progressive news podcast. Allison is also a Navy veteran with a PhD in health administration. MuellerSheWrote.com and DailyBeansPod.com are the websites. And Mueller, She Wrote, or Daily Beans Pod are the Twitter handles. Allison, welcome to the program. Tell us about your experience in the military that led you to the conclusion that this is really a big deal and America needs to be discussing it.
Hey, Tom, thank you for having me on. When the Alito decision leaked, overturning Roe, I was immediately transported back, and I think many people were in this country, to, the time that they needed abortion care or if they needed it, when they needed it. And it, for me, it was when I was in the military, when I was in the Navy in 1995. And a little bit of a content warning here for your listeners. I was drugged and I was raped, and that rape resulted in a pregnancy. And fortunately for me at the time, because Roe was in place, I could, in my spare time on the weekend, walk off base to the local Planned Parenthood to seek abortion care and also get a counseling referral. But if Roe is overturned and or even now, right today in Texas, where it's very difficult, if not impossible, to seek reproductive care. If you are on a military base, if you're an active duty service member and you become pregnant, regardless of how it happens, it's not so simple to just walk out the gate and seek that care. You would probably need to travel, but in order to travel, that's not very easy either. You need to have leave approved by six different supervisors, all the way up, oftentimes, to the commander of the base. And you need to express why you need that leave. Usually, leave is only granted for things like death in the immediate family. And so you would have to put that all on paper. And in my particular case, when I went to report this rape, and 43%, by the way, of people in the military have reported in 2018 that they had a very difficult time, a negative experience when they reported their rape. So it's there's really no safe place to report your rape, because it is the chain of command that makes the decision whether or not to prosecute. And they don't want, to acknowledge that they've had sexual assault on their command, on their unit. And so I was, when I went to report, I was, to put it mildly, discouraged. Somebody came in. First, they asked me all the normal questions that people tend to get when they report a rape on a military base, which is whether I was drinking, or if I was flirting with the person, or if I was in a fight with my boyfriend. And then someone else came in and told me that if I filed a false report, I could be court-martialed, lose my school, lose my rate, lose my rank. I could be dishonorably discharged. They threatened to charge me with adultery because my rapist was married.
Whoa.
And so out of complete and total fear, I didn't say a word to anyone. And so without that safe space to report your rape, this could be a situation where the government forces women and people to carry pregnancy to term, and in some cases, their rapist's baby. So it hit me very hard. And I mean, this impacts so many more people, but this small slice, as you said, no one's talking about this.
Yeah. Now, there's kind of two issues here. One is the reporting of rapes and things like that. There was Kirsten Gillibrand has been all over this with the Military Justice Improvement Act, although I understand that a Democratic senator from Rhode Island kind of blew that up. Do I have that right? Or was it did he just move it and the Republicans blew it? What happened?
You're correct. We had 67 sponsors, 67 senators willing to vote for this bill. When can you ever get 67
enough to break
senators?
A filibuster.
More than enough, right. And they brought it to the floor for unanimous consent, which means, you can just pass it without having to do a vote and a roll call. And that unanimous consent was blocked by Jack Reed of Rhode Island. And his reasoning was that he wanted it to go through his committee and be put into the National Defense Authorization Act. There was a lot of pushback from Senators Kirsten Gillibrand, Joni Ernst, and many others, because they were afraid that it would be gutted. It would be, a lot of the provisions of the act would be removed. And that is exactly what happened. And so the Military Justice Improvement Act was baked into the National Defense Authorization Act. And the main part, the whole point of removing the decision to prosecute assault on base taken out of the chain of command was left in. And so we still don't have a safe and secure place to report assault and rape and sexual harassment in the military.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. Now, that issue in and of itself is terrible enough. And I assume that Gillibrand and others are going to try and revisit this.
She has. Per her statement on what happened to the Military Justice Improvement Act in the NDAA, she has tried to bring that vote to the floor several times and been blocked each time.
So is there also, which is very unfortunate, is there also any legislation at all that would give service members access to abortion care in the event that they happen to be on base in a state that criminalizes it or doesn't allow it?
Well, likely, no, not that I know of, and that would be unlikely because the Hyde Amendment prevents.
Oh, yeah. Which is attached to every single military appropriations bill.
Yes. And so what I am calling for from the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, and from President Biden is to approve leave for travel for reproductive health care.
Just that simple. Just make it very... You know, this would routinely be available to women who have been who have an unwanted pregnancy. Let's say this would not be limited to rape. I'm assuming.
I would say no. In fact, it's absolutely inhumane and terrible that people that people in general, but also people in the United States military, would have to find workarounds such as that to have leave approved to travel. The military can't pay for that travel. Again, Hyde Amendment issues. And we can, talk about, trying to overturn the Hyde Amendment, but we can't get 50 senators to agree on much of anything. Right. So that's, with the filibuster in place. So we're now forcing people to travel to seek that care. Some states are even looking to make it illegal to travel to seek reproductive health care, to seek abortion care. And of course, the federal government, 12th Amendment supersedes that. But it's to have to come up with these end runs around stripping us of our rights is bonkers. They should be putting these things in place to automatically grant leave for health care travel.
We're talking with Allison Gill, the host of Mueller, She Wrote, the Mueller, She Wrote podcast and the Daily Beans podcast, MuellerSheWrote.com, DailyBeansPod.com. And Allison, we just have a minute or so left, but one of the points that you made in your piece in the Washington Post, titled "Overturning Roe would be a disaster," would be disastrous for the U.S. military, was that even if women in the military try to get abortifacient drugs through the mail, and now telehealth has expanded and they're broadly available, I didn't realize how tightly the military monitors the mail. I mean, this could be problematic as well.
Yeah, in some commands, and it depends on the command, too. Basic training is extremely strict. They open up your care packages that mom sends to make sure that she didn't send you, cookies with special treats in them or anything. When I was on Naval Nuclear Power Training Command out of boot camp, they still, would inspect the mail randomly to make sure contraband wasn't coming in. Right. And they know where it's coming from. If it's from a pharmaceutical company, they're going to want to know what's in there. And for reasonable reasons,
No, I get it. I totally get it. So what do you think is the solution to this, Allison?
They need to allow for those drugs to be mailed, for medicine to be mailed into the base, and they need to put in policy. And this is something that doesn't have to go through Congress. This can just be policy in the military, that all abortion care-related travel is going to need to be approved.
And that, and if you're in a state, say you're in Texas, and say you're at one of the military bases in Texas, and you travel outside the state to get an abortion, and then somebody in Texas learns about it and decides to sue you and everybody involved. I guess they can't sue you, or the woman who's getting the abortion. What does the military do about that? I mean, shouldn't there be some kind of firewall here, something that protects women?
There should be, and it should be a firewall akin to if you are born on a military base in England, it's United States territory, right? So that's federal territory, so that the policy should be that that doesn't apply. You're not considered a resident of Texas. You're considered an active duty service member, for example. That's what the workaround presumably would be for that, or for illegal travel out of a state that has banned it.
Yeah. Supreme Court fixing to create a whole big mess for us all here. Allison Gill, the host of Mueller, She Wrote podcast and the Daily Beans podcast, MuellerSheWrote.com, DailyBeans.com, pod.com.
And her piece in the Washington Post, overturning Roe would be disastrous for the U.S. military, is over there, too. Allison, thank you for dropping by.
Thank you.
Good talking with you. We're here in the place where smart people get their news. Back with more of the news of the day and your calls in just a moment. Dan in Oxford, Alabama. Hey, Dan, what's on your mind today?
Good morning, Tom. Sadly, as we all know, right-wing extremists with an AR-15 walked into a grocery store in Buffalo, New York, and took some very good people off this earth because the only reason was they had black skin.
Yep.
Now, let me back up here to where I live here in Alabama. We've got elections here as well.
Yeah, next week is your primary, isn't it? Next Tuesday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's running, and I'm talking about campaign ads here, and mm-hmm. these are all Republican. Every single one of these folks are Republicans. Every single one of these people are pro-Trump, including the incumbent governor, Kay Ivey. I mean, they're all pro-Trump this, pro-Trump that, and they make sure that that gets out there to the population. They're all holding a gun in their hand, including a lady that's running for the Alabama Supreme Court. And part of her campaign ad is showing her firing an automatic pistol at a target.
Wow.
And they all say pro-gun. I mean, every single one of them's got a gun in their hand of some kind or another. And, you know, I'm thinking, you got a fire in this country going on in racial hatred and bigotry, and these people are pouring gasoline on that fire.
Yeah. I agree.
And, I guess you can figure out I am not GOP by any stretch.
Yeah. I remember when there was a time when this kind of thing used to provoke outrage. Remember when Sarah Palin tweeted that photo of the targeted campaign areas around the country with the crosshairs, and one of them was Gabby Giffords, and then Gabby Giffords got shot in the head a week later? You know, there was all kinds of uproar about that. No more uproar anymore, Dan.
No, and to be honest with you, I'm a former Marine, a Vietnam vet, and I understand the Second Amendment. What I don't understand is why this country, well, I know why it's flooded with military assault weapons. They let the assault weapons ban die in Congress in 1996, which was an idiotic thing to do.
Yep.
But it was also a planned thing to do by the Republicans to make sure their buddies in the NRA and the gun manufacturers made a fortune, which they're doing. Unfortunately, it's costing a lot of lives.
Yeah, didn't it pass in 96 under Clinton, and then George W. Bush let it expire in 2006? Or am I remembering
maybe
wrong?
Because
I don't think it would have passed in 86 under Reagan, and it was passed through reconciliation, so it only lasted 10 years.
There is no rational explanation that anyone on this earth can give me for owning an AK-47 or an AR-15, especially if it's a fully automatic weapon. There is no way in the world you can convince me that someone needs that kind of gun.
Yeah, unless they're planning on starting a war or murdering a whole lot of people, which, you know, sadly is more and more of what's going on. Dan, thank you for the report from Alabama. It's good to hear from you, and I do appreciate it. This is where the Republican Party is at. They're the party. They have become the party, the anti-American party. They've become the party of take down America, tear down this country, and you know, if necessary, have a war in the process. Exposing the con in conservative. I'll be right back. The January 6th committee believes that they have evidence that directly contradicts Republican denials of reconnaissance tours. Georgia Congressman Barry Loudermilk, guy that, you know, basically nobody's ever heard of, he appears to be one of the guys who was leading tours of insurrectionist wannabe murderers, people who wanted to murder the vice president and speaker of the House, through the Capitol on January 5th. He has denied it, but Benny Thompson, the chair of the Senate Select Committee, just sent an email to him saying, quote,
Based on our review of evidence in the Select Committee's possession, we believe you have information regarding a tour you led through parts of the Capitol complex on January 5th, 2021. He goes on to say, Republicans on the Committee on House Administration, of which you are a member, claim to have reviewed security footage from the days preceding January 6th and determined that there were no tours or groups with MAGA hats on. However, the Senate Select Committee's review of evidence directly contradicts that denial. And it was Mickey Sherrill, a Democrat from New Jersey, who originally accused Republicans of this, number one. And number two, Charlie Sykes thinks that he's a you know, conservative consultant. He used to be a consultant for the Republican Party. And he's now left the Republicans. And he says the Republicans have a weak spot Democrats need to exploit, and that is domestic terrorism. They need to start linking Republicans to domestic terrorism and just pounding on that thing. And I completely agree. Hey, special thanks to Louise Hartman, Sean Taylor, Nate Atwell, Jamie Holly, Joyce the Hammer, Nance, Nigel Peacock, Sue Nethercutt, Patrick Hoyt, Geraldine Halbert, Ron Hartenbaum, Chase Spross, and the folks who run our chat room over on YouTube. Thank you to you all. And thank you for listening and watching our program. Get out there, get active, tag, you're it.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.